found you. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. I like this hot day, man. Everybody's over here under the shade. We tricked you. We prayed for the sun to be out and beaming, got us all together. Hey, Ron Artest is in the back. Good to have Ron Artest back there. Also known as Meta World Peace, but was also in a basketball fight, so go figure that. All right. Hey, I'm going to pray. Everybody with me back there in the back? All right, awesome. Let's pray together. Our good friend Jonathan Player is here this morning to lead us in worship. So we'll worship together. You sing along, listen, soak that in, whatever God leads you to do, and then we'll get started in the Word, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We do thank you again, even as we pray right now, just a slight cool breeze. We thank you for that. Thank you for just a beautiful day and beautiful people that are gathered together in your name. And so, Jesus, it's been our prayer leading up to today and even been prayed multiple times out here that you would be glorified above all else. And God, just speak to us through worship, speak through your word. Most importantly, Holy Spirit, you speak. Speak through conversations, through handshakes, through hugs, smiles, just normal conversation. God, have your way in this place. And so we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, you always amaze me. Let your kingdom come in my world and in my life. Give me the food I need to live through today. And forgive me as I forgive the people that wrong me. Lead me far from temptation, deliver me from the evil one. Look out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune or out of place. Walk to the meadow and stare at the flowers, better dressed than any girl on her wedding day. So why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. Invade my heart, invade this broken town. The kingdom of the heavens is buried treasure. Would you sell yourself to buy the one you found? Two things you told me, that you are strong. You love me. Yes, you love me. Your love is, your love is, your love is strong. Your love is, your love is, your love is strong. Strong, I got deliver us from these prisons.
Morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. All right, this next one should be a little more familiar. And I hope you can sing along if you know.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
All right. Okay, guys. Dr. Callie there is taking care of the situation, and we continue to pray over that, and so we're grateful. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. We're going to get into the word just real quick, and then my good friend Jonathan's going to come back up and lead us in worship at the end, okay? Let's pray. Everybody with me? All right. Father, we thank you for this day, and just thank you for your provision. We thank you again for the cool breeze. And it's kind of weird. Every time we pray, there's a cool breeze, or at least that's when I notice it. So thank you, God, for just being able to slow down and feel the cool breeze. We just pray your blessings over all here, and God, just again, continue to speak to our hearts in the many ways you already have this morning. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this weekend is Memorial Day, and if you're not familiar with what that is, it's a federal holiday of the United States, remembering and honoring those people who have died in combat while serving the United States in the armed forces. And so if you have had a family member or a loved one that has passed in that way, we greatly appreciate and honor them. And as a country, we're thankful for the men and women who have died serving, because we get to have freedoms like we have today. Look around. We are meeting in a parking lot, outside in the streets, boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, and we're free to do so. Anybody happy for that opportunity to come together? That's a blessing. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful if you have ever served. I know that's Veterans Day, but we honor you as well. As much as many people want to try, and much to their dismay, you cannot read the Bible and find the United States of America in there. I know I read things sometimes, and people try to make that stretch and put some of our heroes in there, or our politicians on whichever side of the aisle you choose, or if you find yourself like me, having a hard time choosing either side of those aisles. But as we look, we can't find any of that in the Bible. But what we do find is a lot about remembering. There is a whole lot in the Bible. If you look, we've been camping out in the Psalms, it seems like, for about 4 years now. And we've only made it, I think we hadn't even made it to 50 yet. The next one will be 50, and it's not today. So we'll get there eventually. But there's a lot in the Psalms about remembering God, or remembering something that happened. You look through the Bible, and there are instances after instances of remember this. And so I was thinking about that actually this morning, and I thought of a few. I thought of the original Passover. Do you remember the story in the Bible about the original Passover? It happened in Exodus, right? All these plagues and things that are happening. And then there was this moment where God speaks to the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and says, I will save you if what? Do you remember the story? If you put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. In this awesome sense of foreshadowing of what was to come, right? This promised Messiah that we talked about last week, way back in Genesis chapter 3, that has always been the plan, that there was this foreshadowing of that the blood of the Lamb would save. And so we remember this moment in the Passover. We see that story in Exodus. In fact, even then, after that, every year, even to this day, Israel celebrate the Passover. They shared the same meal. I want to ask you the question, why did they do that beyond just the Lord's command? They did that to remember. All right? Everybody check this out with me. It is good to remember. It's good to go back and to reflect and to do that. And in fact, the Passover that I mentioned, our Passover, that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and that His blood in that same sense has covered the doorpost of your heart and has passed over your sin, right? Has given you freedom and life abundantly. If you've done that and we look at Jesus' birth and His life and His teachings and His death and His burial and His resurrection, our Passover that is found in Jesus, He even does the same thing. Everybody look at me this morning. You heard of the Lord's Supper? We want to take that together out here very soon. We've talked about that. But Jesus, as He does the Lord's Supper, listen to what He says in this. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. It is something special about remembering. That is what we set aside this weekend in a national sense to remember those who have fallen and given their life. But even more so in a biblical sense, there is tons of scriptures about remembering. There is something so special and so important about remembering. It's healthy. That's why there's history classes that exist. If you ever sat in high school or college or elementary school, any of those times, and you had a history class and you were thinking, this is so boring. It's not to me. I love watching the History Channel at home. I know I'm kind of a nerd on that, but I love watching old things. I've listened to historical podcasts, listened to the stories of the past. It is great to remember. We learn from our past mistakes and past victories, right? I'm a simple guy. If you've been around me for any amount of time, you know that. In fact, a brother shared that last week, said, Brother Keith, you preach the way a two-year-old can understand. There may be some that take offense to that, but I kind of dug it, right? That a two-year-old could walk by and understand the simplicity of the gospel. So I'm a simple guy, and so I looked up the definition of the word remember. Now, you may not need that defined. You may be smarter than me, and I get it. You remember. But isn't it hard to define the word remember because you want to use the word remember? It's just so simple that we use that word to define what it means. But here's what it means. To be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of someone or something that has been seen, known, or experienced in the past. Bringing up memories, bringing something that has happened in the past. It is good to remember. I was thinking of my favorite memorial scenes in the Bible, and I couldn't help but go to Joshua chapter 3. If you have a Bible, you want to turn there, you can. If not, I promise I'll do my best to read it as written here this morning. Joshua chapter 3, starting at verse 7. I want to tell you a little bit about Joshua. He is the one called to follow the guy. He is the guy to follow the guy. Worse than the guy that's going to have to follow Nick Saban. He had to follow Moses. Can you imagine Moses that is still revered in the Israel culture, in the Jewish culture? He follows Moses' leadership, and God had called him to be strong and courageous. Remember that whole calling that we'd given. Tao, you and I talked about calling this morning, right? That was a heck of a calling, to follow Moses and to lead my people. And then you see this speech in Joshua 3 where he talks to the people about something big is going to happen. And he uses this big church word and he says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So this amazing speech that he gives. But I want to pick up in Joshua chapter 3, starting at verse 7 through 16. They're facing the Jordan. It is at flood stage. If you don't know what that means, it means there was a honking lot of water. That's a Greek word for you, or Hebrew word, as we're in the Old Testament, I should say. It was a lot of water, right? It says, the Lord said this to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What an amazing thing, right? That Moses, this person that had done so many great things, so many great works, he had led the people of Israel through. And he says to Joshua, I will be with you just like I was with Moses. Here's what he says. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters at the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know the living God is among you, that he without fail will drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And listen to this. When the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand into one heap. So that when people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water. And it goes on to tell us, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away. And go further with me. Verse 17, it says, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel was passing over on dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Now, I want you to think about this, and this is free. I'm not charging for this, right? This is extra. So this is a little extra nugget that you've got this morning. If you go back to Israel, they have a history of crossing water on dry ground, right? I believe it was Exodus 14 that they go back, but I want you to notice the difference. This is one little nugget you need to take away this morning, because sometimes God intervenes in our life. Listen to me, way in the back, you need to hear this. Charlie, especially you need to hear it. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Charlie. You need to hear this morning, though, all right? Sometimes God brings you to the brink of that water, and it feels impossible, and you stand there, and you have a figure like Moses that walks out, and in Exodus 14, it says he stretches out his hand with a staff. Charlton Heston did a good job, but I happen to think Disney did even a better job in The Prince of Egypt. But he walks out and he puts like a Gandalf moment with that staff, and then it just parts. And they walk through on dry ground, right? That's awesome. But do you know what he called them to do in Joshua? He said, when you step in the water. You see, it took even an extra thing of faith. In other words, it's not going to be dry ground. And by the way, it's flood stage. It is a lot of water. I think I said the Hebrew word honking. It is a honking lot of water. And you stand there, and once you step into the water, then it's going to part. Let me tell you, that priest carrying the pole, the first one stepped in. You don't tell me that dude didn't have faith. All right? He had to step into the water. Some of us are asking, God, would you just make the waters part? And sometimes he does that on his own, and sometimes he calls us to take just one more step of faith. That's extra this morning. So we get to that point. Listen to what happens, though, when they cross. When they go in and they cross over the Jordan. I want you to listen to the first seven verses of Joshua chapter 4. Not just a couple of people, but it says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bringing them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord of the God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder. It means it wasn't a little rock, right? Had to put it up over his shoulder. It says, as you do this, you take this stone upon your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in the time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. I want you to think about this, that this wasn't just some idle holiday that God made. It wasn't just some arts and craft project about, hey, let's gather up a few rocks. These were strong men that went out exactly where the feet of the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. And they said, take these stones, not rocks, not pebbles, but these large stones, put them over your shoulder, and I want you to make a pile over here. But it wasn't just so that there would be this neat new little monument across the Jordan. He was very specific as to why this happened. Look back in verse 6 with me. He says, so that when your children ask in time, what do these stones mean to you? Let me paint the picture for you. Think about the interaction of a father and a son walking by the Jordan River. Can you picture it? You may have never been there. I've never been there. I hope to go one day. But as you're walking by this Jordan River, maybe even at the flood stage, just to recreate the moment. And I can see the son walking with his dad, hand in hand, walking beside, doing things that guys do. Probably that means spitting a little bit and throwing some rocks or doing something dangerous. And as they walk by, I can see the child now in my mind ask, Dad, Abba, Daddy, Father, what are those stones? And I don't know about you, but I like to even picture this as it comes down. I picture the dad getting down on a knee and saying, son, you see how the Jordan's at flood stage? Not too long ago, in fact, it was 22 years ago this month. I'm making that up. I don't know that that's when it was. But I want to tell you a story. You see, there were the priests, and they had the Ark of the Covenant of God, and in that were things that were from our past. And by the way, even stories that would build on top of story. And they sit there and said, I'll tell you what those stones mean to me. It means that we were faced with a river that was impassable, that God had called us to something that we could not do on our own, but he told us to step into the water, and we did. And son, the waters parted. Can you imagine the story? Can you imagine the memorial that happened? That this wasn't just some ordinary pile of stones, that it had meaning, it had great purpose. Again, listen to what he says. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 6, he says, take up these stones that this may be a sign among you, that when children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? You could tell them of all the great works, all of the good things that God had done. Can I get practical with you this morning and take away from Joshua chapter 3? And I'm going to hop in a DeLorean here. That's a Back to the Future reference. Somebody just texted me. That's bad timing. Michael, I'll talk to you later. Sunday, May 26, 2019. Can I tell you what some of my memorial stones are and will be to the day I die? All right? Right here. Look at this first table right here. Right here. Melissa, you right there. Johnny, right here at this table. Valerie, right here at this bench. Andrew and Jonathan, right at these chairs. Do y'all know the first Sunday we ever came out here? Tal was telling you about this earlier. I said, I'm going to mention it. This was it. It was just a couple of people. And we invited people to come, and we had donuts sitting out. And we said, man, people's going to walk by, and we're going to tell them about Jesus. We're going to give them a donut, a handshake, a hug, and a smile. That's all we're going to do. And, you know, we sat out here 3 weeks, and these chairs right here, and nobody came. See, we had a nice, comfortable building on Green Springs that we met as a church body. And God called us to something else. We stepped into the water, if you will, right? It wasn't just an easy thing. We said, we're going to let that building go. How many of you think AC would be nice today? That'd be nice. Amen. We had that. But God called us to step out, right? And so it happened. I'm not doing that to pat myself on the back or anybody else that was a part of that. What I'm doing to tell you is right here, whether we meet here forever or we meet somewhere else in the city, or what we hope happens that God replicates this in places all over our city, and that may mean breaking up the band a little bit, that some of us have to go there and some of us have to go there, but we'll step out in the water when those days come. But listen to me this morning, forever when I drive by this place. I hope it's when I got grand. By the way, this is horrible. This is horrible. Anybody remember Notorious B.I.G.? I want my granddad name to be Big Papa just so I can play that song. I love it when they call me Big Papa. You may have never heard that in church before, but that's what I've asked my kids to name me, all right? I know that's wrong. I know that's not what that song's about, but I do have a cigar I'll smoke every while. I'm going to sit back and smoke. I love it when they call me Big Papa, all right? But when I'm Big Papa and I drive my grandkids by, listen to me. Listen. And I get misty-eyed over just a couple of lawn chairs. Big Papa? See, it sounds good, don't it? Big Papa, what's those chairs? What's the deal? I can get on my knee. Let me tell you what those chairs are about. You see, because whether you know it or not, there's an amazing story being written out here. I hate one part of it because I'll tell you this. Today, Ms. Mitzi comes to me and says, did you know we made the paper? And we knew that was coming. We didn't know when it was coming, but there was an article written about us, and it's got my name in it. And I wish we could put everybody's name in it. Okay? But there's a story being written out here that people are crazy about. Because look around you. This is the kingdom of God at hand. People from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, coming together. And my brother said it, that's why I'm not going to point him out. He can raise his hand if he wants to. But I told him, I said, I was thinking about this morning. We were standing right here. And it was cold. Right? I did point him out. He stood up. I had to. We were standing right here at the heaters. We was all gathered around. It was much colder than it is, obviously, today. We don't need no heaters today. But we were standing around, and we said something about this story. That it's more than just serving food. That it's family out here. You see, this is the family of God. This is what God is doing. And so, as memorials, I remember. I remember when God called us to this. I remember all of these moments. I remember people telling us that this is kind of foolish. This is kind of silly. A good friend of many of ours, Chris Rowe, and he meant it with the utmost sincerity and heart to encourage us to do it. When we were talking about this thing, he said, this could be a huge failure in man's eyes. But then he smiled and I smiled. But in God's eyes, this is something cool. God is doing something cool out here. I want you to know this is the family of God kind of stuff. So these chairs will always be a memorial for me. Now I want you to know I don't worship these chairs, obviously. I worship the God that made happen what happened here. And it's still happening. You see, memorial stones were never meant to be worshiped. Some people take that a little too far. We build our own idols in those things. But I think back to memories. In fact, it was in the article. It was a picture right there in that parking spot right there. We had country's baptism. I never will forget that day. That is a memorial stone, a marker in my life that I will never forget. Anybody remember our brother Junebug? Last night, we had a family gathering at my house, and I was looking for an old picture. And I ran across a picture of Junebug standing right there, Junebug with a peace sign. I miss my brother. That is a memorial stone for me. This is more than Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joes are good, but there's more going out here. This is the kingdom of God. I remember. I asked the question this morning, what are some memorial stones for you? Not just about here, but the times that God really has come through. Maybe what are the stones that you're hoping one day that you can put and say, that's the day. What is it that you're longing for? What is it that God is maybe calling you out to step up from being a boy into being a man or a little girl into being a woman and make that step into the water? Maybe you just been waiting for the waters to part. Maybe there's no Moses coming around. Maybe Charlton Heston ain't coming. Prince of Egypt isn't there. Maybe it's time for you to step into the water. Would you listen? We talked about that this morning. In fact, Hal, you and I weren't the only one. We were talking about calling and how we know what God's calling us to do, that we pray and that we listen and follow His leading. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. Jonathan's coming up. I want to pray, but I want us to do this. I want us on a day like today. I don't mean to slight our country, but this is so much bigger, thinking about things of God and thinking of the things He's called us to memorialize and to remember. I think of Jesus' example Himself as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He's all about remembering the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard, the easy. All of these things are precious gifts and memories. But we sit back and we remember with thankful and expectant hearts. Do you know this, that God's not done out here? This is just the beginning. More's coming. And so we'll even look back and say, you remember when we gathered around and there was just 100, 150 people out here? Man, now it's all over the city. People being invited into the family of God. That's not me. That's bigger than me. That's not you. It's bigger than you. That's God at work. So we remember, we have expectant and thankful hearts. Would you pray with me this morning? Just bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Ask that question before we pray so that you can pray with a thankful heart. What are your memorial stones? What are those markers, those moments that you can look back and just remember the good that God has done for you? I mean, the good stuff. How he's been there for you. How when everybody else may have turned their back, he sticks closer than a brother. One that's laid down his life for you. Just salvation alone. We look to the cross. Amen. Thankful for that. So with thankful and expectant hearts, God, we just thank you. Thank you for those markers in our life, the times that we can look back. I had one this week. I think about my granddad's often, but was cleaning at my office and stumbled across a picture of my granddad smoking a pipe. Looked pretty cool. I got the same pipe. His pipe. I was given. I got it sitting right there by the picture, and I looked back, and God, I just thanked you for a godly influence in my life that I'll see again one day. And so with thankful hearts, we look back on markers, memorial stones like that, and we're grateful. God, we look out here and what you're doing with just thankful hearts of giving us family out here and building your church, your body, your beautiful bride. And you do call us beautiful and lovely. Thank you for Jesus. We look to the cross. We thank you for that. Thank you for the empty tomb that we still celebrate. It's after Easter and we can't quit talking about the empty tomb. Jesus, thank you. And with us expectant hearts, I ask for those who are in seasons of just needing to step out into the water. God, give us the faith to do that. It takes faith. It takes courage. Be with us as we do that. And God, we just thank you for what you're continuing to do out here. Where you lead us, we'll go. And so we just end with that. As we worship, we just simply say, Jesus, you speak to hearts this morning and we'll follow. And we'll be okay with the results. We love you. We thank you. And it's with thankful and expectant hearts we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, we're going to end with a song that comes from the Psalms. Psalm 23 should be familiar.
My shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green with quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you are with me. Your shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, will follow me in the house of God forever. God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. Makes me rest in fields of green by a quiet stream. Even while I'm walking through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you're always with me. Your shepherd's staff, it comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, will follow me in the house of God forever. In the house of God forever. Of God forever.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. All right. It's been a good day so far, hasn't it? One person said it's a good day. Anybody else? Brantley? All right. Yeah. Great day. Thank you, Jason. All right. I'm going to pray and then we'll start calling out last names here in just a second. All right, we'll get going. Father, we thank you for this day, and even as we come to a close, we just still have thankful and expectant hearts, and we pray that as God, you provided goods for us to have this morning, that even that, Father, is just a sign of your love to us and provision, and I pray this week, this may have never been prayed at a church before, but I pray that as we crack open a can of Vienna sausage this week, even in that, that as we do that, it's seen as provision from you, that we're thankful, and that, God, it whispers your love to us. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for providing for us food, our daily bread, and, God, even beyond that, just you, your body that was broken for us. And so, God, we thank you. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.